Welcome to Here Be Dragons, the podcast that explores the whole map of who we are, even the uncharted territory. I'm Rachel. I am the head of fire breathing for the Dragonhood, that's social media and content strategy. I'm here to engage you in everything that we have to offer at the Dragonhood. And I am joined, as always, by Claire, our Dragonhood founder and chief empowerment officer.
Hello, everybody. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. And just another quick reminder to our audience, as always, we are two cishet white women speaking from our experience and through our lens of the world, but we do want to hear from other viewpoints, other experiences in the comments, or message us at askthedragons@dragonhood.world. Now, Claire, today we're going to be talking about something near and dear to me, and that is chronic apologizing, the innate need, it feels like sometimes, to apologize for everything, and why we should stop, and some ways to get around it. So well, let's just dive right into it. Let's talk a little bit about what we're talking about when we talk about the apologizing that's gone overboard.
Yeah, it's really that habitual use of "I'm sorry." And, I think we all do it. It's an experience that we will get into the why in a little bit, but it's an experience that's really common for people to have, just constantly use "I'm sorry." You might have it happen when this is the one that always happens. Like someone accidentally cuts you off when you're walking and you say, "Oh, I'm sorry." And you get out of the way. Or sometimes somebody's coming out of a door and you're going in a door and you say, "I'm sorry." And they're holding the door open for you. Like there's this sort of constant use of the "I'm sorry." You may be a few minutes late and you say, "I'm sorry that I'm late," but it's not inappropriate to apologize for being late to a meeting, but the sort of chronic use of it, like, "I'm sorry, I have a question," when you're, on a call at work or talking to a friend, or, "Oh, I'm sorry, can you explain that again?" when you're asking for more information or clarity. Or basic human moving through life, like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I need to take a quick pause. I got to move this thing." Like, no, you just say, "Hey, I need to take a quick pause," or whatever that is, right? There's a million examples in a virtual world. It happens all the time. In real life, it happens all the time. So we thought it might be fun to explore it. And it's something that I've spent years working on and trying to empower myself and others to do. And it's something that we've been working together on too, Rachel.
Yes. Yes. I have needed some coaching, and I am very much in the early stages of working on it. So I am right there with you, listeners. If you are listening right now and thinking, "Oh, I didn't realize that I do this," or you might already be aware of it and just hadn't bothered to try to nip it in the bud yet. But it's definitely something that's taking more brain power than I thought it would, because it's something I've done my whole life. We're talking a lot of years of apologizing for little things. Just last week, we were recording a podcast episode, and I apologized profusely for needing to go plug in my laptop. And I just had to do it. It was part of my job to do it. The only way we could continue working or having a meeting. And yes, I still felt the need to apologize for it. But
and I just did it when I was, I left my water bottle in the other room and I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go get my water bottle. Like, we're going to talk for an hour. I need water." I don't have to apologize for wanting to grab my water bottle. Yeah.
No, we could have just been, "Wait just one second. I need my water bottle." But yeah, no. So we are going to talk about some alternatives to say, and some ways to get your head around not immediately going for the "I'm sorry," which is always right there on the surface, ready to pop out. So, Claire, we've both been talking about this, about the why behind we do it. Why are we chronically apologizing all of the time? What is it for you? And then I'll say what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I really think for me, and it all ties back to our Dragonhood concept of taking up space. It truly is apologizing for moving through the world in a way that takes up space, maybe slightly more than you perceive to be available to you in any situation. And when we talk about taking up space, it might be physically in a room, or it might be mind share of a conversation, or, how much you're contributing in any given conversation or interaction or relational connection point. So thinking about it in those terms, I think the chronic apology is truly about, oh, I'm sorry, I'm about to make a point that may be contradictory to you or may take up a little more space intellectually than you care for me to take, or maybe my role in this organization should allow, you know, all these sort of learned behaviors and perceptions that we're trying to overcome as individuals. And I do think truly it's apologizing for taking up space in a world. And I also think the other thing I think about is it's a comfort phrase. Like it could be like, or, you know, a phrase that people go to when they're trying to give themselves time to think. So that's also possible.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think that's very much true in my case. And I absolutely agree with you about it being an apology for taking up space in the world. I feel like it is learned behavior, especially for cis women, to feel like we are trying to make ourselves smaller. It's this learned behavior from when we were children, really. It feels like we, in particular, have always been kind of taught to apologize for getting in the way of something that I didn't see as commonly in men, boys, you know, being raised at the same time. But again, welcome to hear others' experience. That might not be true for your experience, but that certainly has felt the way for me, that I notice it much more in women than I do in men, especially in the workplace. It feels like I see and I witness, and now that I'm more aware of it, the chronic apologizing is coming much more from women. And so I think that's another powerful reason for us to be talking about this today and to be offering maybe some different ways to get around it to make ourselves feel more powerful in the workplace and in life, but certainly.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, Rachel, too. And at all levels in the workplace, from women, you hear it. So people may be very high up in an organization with a lot of power in the structures that they move through and still are offering the chronic apology, whether it's on, you know, in my case, my experience is like huge Zoom calls with like hundreds of people on them, or, you know, in big customer meetings, or trying to introduce a concept that might be, or a thought that they have in relationship to perhaps other speakers or other folks in the meeting that may be dominating the conversation. So it's an entry point in a way of putting ourselves at a level down from the speaker or the other person in the room to make us feel less threatening. And, you know, the reason we perceive ourselves as being threatening is exactly what you said. We're trying, you know, we might be taking up space in a way that perhaps societally or gender norm wise, we've been taught not to take up. So it is interesting. And there's also, in addition to, we mentioned some things like generationally, there's some aspects of it. You mentioned a really interesting aspect of it too, culturally, that you've had experience with as well.
Yeah. And I do feel the need to sort of preface the conversation with, you know, in different cultures, it's more common across the board than in others. You know, I grew up in Thailand, as we've mentioned in some previous episodes. And I certainly remember this one phrase that's common for excuse me, sorry, all wrapped up into one, is very common for everyone to use all the time. It's a way of being polite. And so that's a different issue than what we're talking about here, but important for us to acknowledge that, yes, it's not something that, you know, is going to apply for everyone, but certainly for us in this context that we're talking about.
That's right. And we want to be aware of cultural lenses, because we learned that from Dr. Benjamin on one of our podcasts. So we're talking about this as adults in the United States, right? Like in that culture currently. So that is such a good call out. And I do welcome anyone that's from a culture that is, like you said, it's part of society and it's a way of interacting that's accepted and not, you know, it's not for any one gender or the other. It's just, it's like saying hello. It's like a way of greeting, you know? So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. And I would encourage everyone to go back and listen to some of our other webinars with Dr. Benjamin. She has great insights into this. And being aware, you know, if you're a team lead too, or your manager or supervisor, and understanding that the people that you're interacting with and the people on your team are coming from very different backgrounds and different lived experiences. So mm-hmm. Always good. One thing we did talk about when we were discussing this topic was that Sometimes you still need to say you're sorry. You still need to apologize sometimes. There are some instances where it is absolutely appropriate and needed for us to apologize, right, Claire?
That's right. Yeah, this is not about divesting yourself of all accountability in every aspect of your life forever going forward. It really is that habitual use. And I think everyone who experiences it and relates to this conversation will know the difference. And it's not about sincere, authentic apologizing and taking accountability for your actions or things that when you've hurt other people or any reason where you might need to offer an apology. And I think it's even more important to ensure that your apologies mean something. They're not sprinkled in every conversation at every aspect. Like, I need a drink of water. I'm sorry, I need a drink of water. Like, really making that word meaningful and important is another way to help you think about and catch it, right? The importance of that. And when you sincerely say to someone, I am so sorry that this happened and that I hurt your feelings when XYZ happened or we had this conversation. I really want to, work on it. You want that to be as meaningful and as authentic and real as possible. So really putting it in that context. So this is, again, this is not about accountability. And I think that's probably a really good webinar we can do with Dr. Benjamin on accountability and meaningful apologies and things like that. I think that's a really important skill set. This is, again, the different sort of habitually apologizing for moving through the world. You might say, I'm sorry, I need a fork. I'm sorry, can you hand me a napkin? Like all those sort of everyday interactions is what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I want to throw in a quick side note to for any parents who are listening. One thing that I decided to be very conscious of and aware of with raising my kid is that I want to meaningfully apologize to him when it's appropriate, of course, because so many people I know don't recall hearing their parents ever say they're sorry for anything or taking accountability for something. So when we talk about your sorries then having more meaning and impact because you're being genuine, I think that's something really important that I'm trying to at least focus on in that one aspect of my life and parenthood, to use those in such a way that, he'll understand that I mean it and that it will come from me whenever it's needed and not just, maybe once in his lifetime or something. So that's just a little side note, but I did start thinking when we were talking about sorry so much, I was like, yes, but there is one area in my life I'm trying to insert it very specifically. So but anyway, so how do we stop apologizing in the workplace when we're being chronic about it, when it is too much? How do we even start stopping it? What do you have advice for that, Claire?
Yeah, it really comes back to something we advise a lot about. And it is the first step is always noticing. It's always noticing it when it occurs in your interactions, when you have it happening, noticing when you find yourself using it, noticing when you might be typing it in an email or a text message. It's another good one. We're going to chat about that a little bit. But really noticing is the first step. And I would say noticing and being kind to yourself about it. So this is not what the F is wrong with me. I can't, I apparently I'm saying this every 4 minutes. That is not what this is. This is notice, and that's always the first step. And then it's be curious about opportunities to swap in some other phrases.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, it's very important to not get on our case so much because then we'll find ourselves nervous to speak at all. We'll
Right.
be second guessing every little thing that we're doing. But yes, I love the idea that first of all, just notice it. And for me, I am fortunate enough to work with someone who is my accountability buddy who lets me know when I'm doing it. And that might be what you need. That might be a great solution if there's someone that you work with closely who you trust to not go overboard with it and to just help you along a little bit. I think that can be very effective because sometimes we're not that great at noticing our own behaviors, or if it's become such a vocal reliance, like the then you might not be as easy to notice that. But I love the idea of coming up with alternate phrases that you practice out loud. And I love the idea of doing it in front of a mirror or with that accountability buddy, whatever the case may be. But for me, any sort of public speaking has always been easier if I've practiced it in front of a mirror or recorded myself doing it. And I've done that in uncomfortable situations, trainings, and things like that. Anytime where my gut reaction might be to do something else, I need to practice it out loud. So I highly recommend that for you listeners out there who might be getting a little bit nervous about, okay, but it's so awkward to say some of these other things when I'm so used to saying sorry, then just practice it so many times that it no longer sounds awkward to you. Just keep at it. And do it with your friend so it sounds natural, and that'll make it so much easier for you.
Yeah, and keep that list on your phone, keep that list on a post-it note in front of you. I think the opportunity to say things out loud alone in a room to yourself, practice getting your mouth around those words when you're not in the situation. That's a really important piece of advice that I practice. I will have full-on conversations like out loud by myself, just practicing. And that works really well for me. As long as I'm not saying things. And this is good advice, like you were saying, for any critical conversations. Practice the words. Of course, make your notes and your outline and think about what you want to say, but also practice speaking the words out loud. So you get the sort of nervousness, the tripping over those words. You get familiar with the core concept of what you're trying to convey. It's not about scripting it. And that really becomes useful. And I love the accountability buddy really becomes important. And I will say, helps you in your own noticing of, continuing the practice for yourself. So as Rachel mentioned, like something we've been working together on is trying to stop the chronic apologizing. And I find that I am more inclined to model it when we're having those conversations. It helps remind me to also keep an eye on myself. So it helps me notice more in my day-to-day life. I will also say that if you're a people manager, or a teacher, or any kind of community leader, any situation, a mom, right? Anything where you're leading or teaching the next generation, that also becomes a really helpful signal to yourself. So as you enter that space, you have the reminder of like, it's not just about you being better and self-improvement and all this kind of stuff. It's about, oh, I need to take up space and move through the world this way so that others see me modeling it and do that behavior as well. That becomes, again, it's somehow easier to do it for someone else than it is for yourself. So if that's a stumbling block or barrier for you, it's such a good reminder.
No, that's absolutely true. And when you're doing it with someone that you trust or you're modeling it for someone else, it feels like you're in this no pressure environment too. So it's easier to digest for the recipient, and I think it's easier for the modeler as well, because you're doing it in a way that's feels non-threatening, I guess, is the way to put it. But yeah, you both benefit from it, right? The person who's modeling or calling out the behavior, and the person who needs to receive that information and to
Yeah.
ingest
And
it.
I'll say there's a great phrase, Donna McLean from Agents of Way, who's somebody that I have the great privilege of knowing and having been coached by. She uses the phrase calling in, and I'm sure she has a great source for that, but I will attribute it to her. So calling in instead of calling out. So this isn't a gotcha moment. This is a calling someone into a place of understanding. And I think that is such a lovely turn of phrase. So you call, and so much a kinder way to think about it for yourself too, calling yourself in on an opportunity to approach something differently and celebrate. We talk about this too, celebrating a win. Like if you catch yourself one time, that's great. This isn't about eradicating the phrase from your lexicon, eradicating the phrase from your way of speaking for the rest of your life. This is like, catch it a couple more times, notice it, congratulate yourself for noticing when it happens. Don't beat yourself up when it happens. If you notice it happening, that's always the first step. And then, maybe you catch yourself once in a situation where you may normally do it. So really think about this as incremental steps. It's something that we're going to practice our whole lives. As you get in more tense situations, these types of things that we like to lean on become, we reach for those tools more quickly, those enabling phrases, we reach for those quickly when we're in high pressure situations, right? It happens to me, it happens to everybody. So again, this is about being kind to yourself and celebrating. Oh, I noticed that I did it. Hooray. Like that counts, right?
Yeah. And I think this will come as a surprise to absolutely no one, but I talk a lot. And I think being in this practice of trying to notice this chronic apologizing for myself has encouraged me to pause a little bit in some situations before something comes out of my mouth, which is probably beneficial to my life overall, just to pause for a second and think about it before you say something. So there are some extra side benefits as well to this practice.
That's right. That's a great public speaking technique anyways, to take mm-hmm. a pause. And it's okay to take a beat and gather your thoughts before you speak. Yeah.
Yeah, it helps the audience gather their thoughts as well. So yeah, everybody wins. So now that we're talking about all the ways that we want to work on it, and we've acknowledged the issue, we're noticing it, we're calling in, what are some actual steps that we need to take? How can we start putting this into practice right now?
The first one we're going to go through is my absolute favorite, and it's my go-to. And it is appreciate, don't apologize. Mm. So again, we're going to say it again. The phrase is appreciate, don't apologize. So anytime you catch yourself trying to say, I'm sorry, or typing my apologies in an email, shift it to the appreciation that you're trying to express. So instead of, I'm sorry, I was late, I appreciate you waiting for me. I appreciate your patience. Thank you for waiting. Thank you for your patience. This happens to all of us, right? We're super busy at work. Someone sent you an email on something, you forgot to respond, and they ping you again. They send you another email and you start typing, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so busy. I missed it. Here's the info you wanted. When we appreciate, not apologize, we say, thank you so much for the reminder. Here's the information you wanted. And it's such a, it's so silly. It shouldn't work as well as it does. And you can literally swap the phrase, I apologize for, I appreciate, almost verbatim in every scenario. And it works. It works. You know, there's not a scenario that I've come up against where appreciation doesn't do the trick.
Well, that's amazing. And what a great way to practice that is in email format, where you can literally delete and add in the appreciate. And that helps, you know, your brain work on, oh yes, this is the swap I need to make. So that's very good. And you know, another thing that you talked about with me as we were planning for this episode was a concept I had not heard before, but I think our listeners would be interested to hear. You said never complain, never explain. What's that about?
That's a great one too. And I learned that from an old boss of mine years ago. And she always said, never complain, never explain. And she was giving me feedback about emails that my email responses. And I really appreciated it and have taken it with me over the years. So it means that, and in my experience, so this, and again, this is a caveat of we're not talking about take everything that people dish out or in unsafe work environments like this. That's not what never complain means. Like the never complain is the, ugh, I'm so busy, or, ugh, you know, I'm so slammed and I can't figure this out, or, you know, that's the complain part, right? That's all it is. So don't insert a safety phrase or a comfort phrase about busyness or whatever it is that you might be, you know, the idea of complaining. The one is, oh, I'm so busy, I didn't even get to eat lunch today. Like, I'm so sorry, I didn't even get to eat lunch today. Like, if we offer that excuse or reason, right? So take the complaint as never complain, meaning like never offer, you know, the 900 reasons why it happened. And then the never explain follows into that as well. So never complain, never explain, never provide over explanation of like, oh, I'm so sorry, I had to take my kid to the doctor and this, that, and the other thing. Like, you are allowed to do those things and you don't owe somebody an explanation. So you can just, again, never complain, never explain is a little bit of a different way to get at, you know, don't go on and on. And particularly in an email, this was a scenario again that the advice was given to me is like, don't go on and on about, you know, bringing the person around to your side about why you're still a good human who's contributing positively to this organization because you forgot to reply to an email. Like, we got to lower the bar a little bit here, right? Like, you're still a valued member of the team. And, you know, never complain, never explain, and appreciate, don't apologize. So just go right into the appreciation. So it's helpful, I think, in that phrase. And, you know, I don't know where she heard it, but I really appreciated it. And it was really just about, you know, I was over explaining like a lot. And I think that's something we all do in email. I notice it particularly around when people are requesting time off.
Yes.
In different organizations, like you may apologize and then over explain why you're needing the time off. And like, it's your PTO, you take the time, you do not, you know, you don't need to provide a reason. It's something that, again, that's another really powerful one to model. Like, hey team, I'm going to be out Thursday. You know, you don't have to offer the explanation about that. I have 3 doctor's appointments and I'll be in and out. Like, thanks so much. Like, you know, it's really, it's, that's what we're trying to get at with the, like, never complain, never explain.
I love that. And I very much appreciate modeling that behavior for the people on your team. I recall a supervisor who would over explain all of their time off, which made us then feel like we were compelled to then reveal all of the details about all the things, including doctor's appointments and details about, and you know, that was not healthy for anyone. So, and you might, if you're listening now, you might be in a situation where you currently feel like that is what's happening, but you know, you can break that cycle. You know, you can try it and see what happens. Try just saying, I need this time off, period. And right. See what happens. And one thing that we always advise when we have talked about any sort of workplace situation or when we're working on something about ourselves is that we advise that you talk to yourself like you would talk to a close friend, right? We are always saying this. And I mean, it was in a recent post that we did on socials. If you would not say this to your best friend, why are you saying it to yourself? Like, don't treat yourself so terribly, right? I think that's so important to realize that, you know, you are an important person to yourself. You have your relationship with yourself is very important, right?
It's super powerful. And we believe what we tell ourselves in our heads. So that internal dialogue is completely powerful. There's tons and tons of research on that, tons of data. And it really is important to speak to yourself the way you would your best friend. Sometimes even it helps to speak to yourself the way you would a child. So, you know, Rachel, as you have a young one that you're raising, you know, you would never speak to them in a way that's like, I can't believe you were late. Why were you late? That's terrible. You owe me an apology. You know, you'd say, hey, that happens. Sometimes people are late and it's okay. And we have to adapt and figure out new ways of doing things, right? So that's the self-talk that you need. And it's such a huge help to just, and that's another, start noticing, notice when you're having that hard, you know, being so hard on yourself that if people heard you in public speaking to someone else that way, they would be shocked, right? So really try to notice that and just stop it. You know, again, don't beat yourself up. You got to be kind to yourself when you notice that happening too. And just take the pause and you can push it out. Like I'm being really hard on myself right now. I'm going to take a pause and I'm going to just give myself grace and be kind to myself because I'm doing my best and maybe I'm a little overwhelmed right now. And I'm just going to take a breather and regroup here. And remember that, you know, again, insert scenario here, right, where you're finding yourself wanting to apologize that, you know, I'm just really busy at work and that's okay. I'm still contributing value, or there's so much going on in life. It's okay. Like, you know, people miss things, and appreciate that reminder that someone sent you to provide that information, you know?
Yeah.
So all of that, really, when you can give yourself the grace, it really helps you then be able to appreciate, not apologize, or find that way forward that doesn't require a chronic apology. And the last thing I'll add, and this one is for, I really relate a lot to all the like oldest daughter memes. Like, so I will say for anybody that has that perfectionist based procrastinating challenge, that's one that comes up a lot in the oldest daughter memes, which is not scientifically, you know, based, but just again, anecdotally fun. But that one is the second half of the apology for me. when I'm chronically apologizing, like, I'm so sorry I wasn't perfect. That is so hard for me, like not being perfect. And until I was able to like articulate that like cringy, like, oh my God, I wasn't perfect. Somebody had to ask for something again. Like, that was really hard. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. It's so busy. Here's the thing you wanted. Like, when a very simple, like, thank you so much for the reminder. Here you go. Like, it just, it was really great. So I think that self-awareness and like some of the self-talk or finding whatever that underlying driver is for you, maybe, like, if it's not for me, it's again, oh, I wasn't perfect. Like, that's the cringe, the shrink. Like, that's where I shrink into myself. Like, oh, I wasn't perfect. And like taking up space and saying, that's okay. I did my best. Thank you for the reminder. I'm gonna, here you go. So I think there's some lessons there too, that we can all try to think about when you spend more time after you get through the noticing and have some of those key phrases that you can go to, you can start to maybe spend a little time on like, what is driving this? What is that deep down in the pit of my stomach, like cringe that is driving that apology?
Yes. And if you needed another reason to try to avoid the apologizing, think about the time suck that it is to agonize over the way that you're going to write this excessive apology for something so minor, when you can save time and be more productive by just, thanks for the reminder, and send it on, instead of the 30 minutes or however long it takes you to grapple with, you know, this this whole sense of being and worry that you're not, you know, perfect enough or not contributing enough or whatever. I mean, just think of it in terms of time you get back in your life. You know, I think that's an extra, again, a side benefit to this whole process, is that you're getting a little bit more time in your life back.
I love that. I love that. I think that's such a great reason.
Yeah, I always feel like let's get as practical as possible here.
Right.
Literally give you some time in your day. Yes. So let's talk about actual phrases, and people can write this down. We'll have a post on it on social media, of course, but if you need some example phrases for things that you can practice, let's throw out a few. You've already mentioned, thank you for whatever it is. Instead of saying, oh, I'm so sorry, just say, thank you for the reminder, right? What's another one?
Yeah, we use that phrase, appreciate, don't apologize. And so you can literally use, I appreciate, insert whatever here. So you can say, thank you is a great one. I appreciate is a great one. And again, those two you can use literally over and over and over again, and they're fine. Another really important phrase that we use here at the Dragon Hood for many things, but that also comes in handy here, is approaching things with curiosity. So you can pair the appreciation with curiosity. Or when I think about these other phrases, so sometimes we say, I'm sorry, I have a question. And that's a hard one to work through. So you might say, excuse me, or pardon me, I'm curious, insert your question there. So that's another one. So there's different scenarios for your apologies. So you may be trying to interject in a conversation. You may be trying to bring up a perspective that feels a little bit different from what the other people in the room are talking about. So the opportunity, and we also have a webinar in this one too, around how to be visible in a virtual world. So yes, using all of the tools and resources available to you can also help with this apologizing challenge. So you can use the hand raise feature if you're in a virtual space, and then someone will call on you, and you don't have to try to find the, oh, I'm sorry, I just have a quick question. You know, like, you can use the hand raise feature, and someone will say, hey, Rachel, what did you want to share about that? And you can say, thank you, I'm curious, insert question here. And when you use the literal phrase, I'm curious, in an authentic tone, it works. Again, it's another one of those phrases that works every time. It is not something that feels like combative or challenging or anything. So it's a really great phrase. Similarly, I'd like to know more about that. You know, so you can use those, you know, use the hand raise, use the excuse me, pardon me, I'd love to know more about how you came to that conclusion. I'd love to know more about the process that went into this. So using, I'd love to know more about, again, just a simple sort of phrase, synonym phrase for I'm curious, works really, really well. So I really, if you're going to anchor into just a handful of phrases, appreciative phrases and phrases around curiosity, in addition to good old fashioned, polite, excuse me, pardon me, hand raise if you're in a virtual environment. So, you know, that I'm so sorry, I just have a quick question, or I'm so sorry, I need more explanation, or I'm so sorry, I don't understand how you got to where you got. You know, you don't need to sorry your way into a conversation. You can appreciate or pardon me, or, you know, all those different ways.
Yeah. So kindness and politeness still matter. and we're making sure that we're still using those. But yes, just in a way that doesn't make ourselves small or make ourselves seem inept or whatever descriptor you want to use. We're giving ourselves power and taking up our space.
I should say there's like the entry, I'm sorry. And then there's the also exit of if that makes sense or if that's okay. Those are other key phrases that we use a lot. So you might make a really intelligent and thoughtful point. Does that make sense? Like, of course it makes sense. It was very thoughtful. So that's another one. I'm trying to work on those two next. Like, those are ones that I, you know, you do sort of like, ooh, was it, did I just take up too much space there with that brilliant thought I contributed to this conversation? Like, does that make sense? Like, is that okay? Does that work for you? Like, those little tagline at the end of, you know, you thoughtfully contributed something or an email or this or that. And like, you know, it, whether it's spoken or written, those are other phrases that we can work on too. And those I would just delete. Just don't use them.
I'm uncomfortable because you've called me in on this. I mean, that is so common. And this is our email culture where we can go into this a little bit more, but we can start off an email with, oh, I'm so sorry. Maybe I misunderstood. And then we get to our point. No, you didn't misunderstand. You're trying to make someone else feel better or make yourself small again or not seem combative about it. No, that's not. Let's just say the fact that you want to say or say the reminder that you need to say. Does that make sense? Is the most, I just see that so often in the workplace at the end of an email. And I have been so guilty of that so many times.
Absolutely. Reese Witherspoon was giving a speech, and you may have seen it. Like, there was a reel of it going around not too long ago. So she's really worked hard to make inroads for women in film. And she was making a point that if you start to listen for the phrase, what are we going to do? That there's a woman in almost every film that says, turns to, in this case, the point she was making, a male protagonist and says, what are we going to do? And she then, you know, says you'll never stop seeing it and hearing it once you start noticing. So that's what we're trying to do here is just notice, like, don't get overwhelmed by the phrases that you're, you know, trying to eliminate all of these phrases. You just got to, you know, I would start with the apology and go from there. We'll start with the front end of the sentence and we'll, you know, keep tackling things over time. And again, this isn't about being perfect or whatever, but, I really thought that example was so great. And, you can look it up too, and you'll just see like a montage of women saying, what are we going to do? So again, that's the film industry. That's another podcast, another conversation, but the power of noticing is what I'm trying to get at there. So just, again, just start noticing. Don't get overwhelmed.
Yes. And, you know, deleting an exclamation mark or two from the email, just tiny things, just notice. I can't have every sentence be an exclamation mark, but I can have three or something. Like, yeah. You notice those inner battles that you're having with yourself when you're trying to be professional in the workplace.
That's right. How many, you know, that classic phrase, like, how many exclamation points is too many in a work email or in any kind of, you know, text message exchange? Like, or how many smile faces is too many at the end of every sentence? Like, you really have to think about that. And, you know, particularly professionally, like, that comes up a lot when we're trying to point out, like, you know, like, hey, so-and-so, we missed this deadline. I'd love to know more about what happened here. If you could provide some information, that would be helpful. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I'm so sorry to bother you. I just wanted to check in and see what happened with this deadline. I really think we need to, you know, provide some information to the customer. Like, if, you know, do you agree? Does that make sense? If you could just send it to me, like, exclamation point, smile face, like, I'm not threatening. And, you know, I'm not a bitch because I'm asking you for what you said you would deliver, even though you missed your deadline. So, like, it's really, really hard. And that takes a lot of just, you know, like, I'm going to just send this email. Like, this is a conversation we have a lot, is like, how would a guy send the email? Like, hey, let me know what happened with that deadline. We need to provide some info to the customer. Thanks. Like, and like you said, it takes so much less time, like so much less time to agonize over every exclamation point, every, do I sound this way or that way? Trust that you are a kind person, and that you can interact confidently with those around you.
Yes. Yes. And I think you will also, yet another side effect, start to feel less response dread. We're dreading the response to the email, dreading having to say something in a meeting. I think you'll find that you are more comfortable and less anxious if you can make it more streamlined and less apologetic.
Yeah, like, you don't need the emotional entanglement. Like, and I find that it drives my procrastination too. So when I agonize, in the headspace of agonizing over the email responses, I'm procrastinating. So then I fall behind, and then I'm spending more time agonizing over the responses. And that response dread, when that email comes back and you like feel that, like, ugh, that ick, like, you don't need to live in that space. Like, everyone's grown ups, be confident, be, you know, kind to yourself and kind to others, and just confident in your ability to interact in a kind way. And if intentions are misunderstood, that's when a real apology comes into play. I'm so sorry. That was not my intention. Here's what I meant. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know. Like, you know, it's really, it really becomes just a lighter way to move through the world. And gosh, that like email PTSD is real, real. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we could talk for ages too about some of the generational differences and how we communicate via email, and even feelings about receiving emails, you know, are a bit different generationally, you know, again, anecdotally. But, you know, the main thing is the things that I think extend beyond our generations are noticing and putting into action a more straightforward plan, so that we don't have to deal with this dread, no matter what level it is to you. Yeah, just lighten your load, right? Lighten the load.
Right. A big theme for me in this year is put the boulder down. Like, you know, I find, you know, you may be able to relate to this. Like, you find yourself carrying so much weight and trying to juggle so many things at such precise levels of detail. And sometimes you just got to put the boulder down. Like, you can't push it uphill. You got to just put it down and, you know, respond to the email or do the thing, right? Like, it really helps me, again, I think, in the context of, you know, navigating some of that perfectionist-based procrastination, like that being an underlying driver for me personally. So if that's you too, like, maybe that's something helpful. It's just like, put it down, lower the bar. Like, we can't be perfect at all these things all the time. And, you know, if we're doing our best and contributing in kind, curious ways, authentic ways, in our everyday interactions, like that's the goal. That's the most important thing. So making sure, you know, you're doing that, and the rest will follow.
I love that. Lower the bar. Let that be your mantra for the week. And speaking of mantras, we do like to end the episodes with some sort of thought or action concept for you to explore further, to be thinking about until our next episode drops. And so this time we thought we would do one on, so what method are you going to try to stop yourself from the chronic apologizing? What replacement phrase might be the one that you want to take with you over the course of the next month? Just something to think about. Pick one that's your favorite and try it out and see how it gets easier over the next 4 weeks, right? I think for me, I'm going to focus on continuing to notice And I will try to practice more out loud instead of just, agonizing replay of a conversation where I should have not said sorry. Instead, I'm going to be proactive this month.
That's such a great point too. Like, don't agonize over the replay. Spend this is another really, I know I'm coming in late with this one, but the advice in that scenario is reflect once. Don't find yourself in an endless spin cycle of I should have done this differently. Noticing can feel a little uncomfortable. So notice, oh, I had a chance to do that differently. Say out loud, what could I have said? Okay. Instead of saying, I'm sorry I was late, I could say, thank you for waiting. I know how important this is. I really appreciate your time. So practice that. Practice it out loud maybe one or two times and move on. So don't beat yourself up on the reflection part. So I think that's a really big part of all of this too. So I'm glad you mentioned that. I know we're closing it out, but that's a really good call out.
Yes, thank you for that advice. Let it go. Yes, reflect and move on. Now, if you have felt connected to what we're talking about in this episode, if the chronic apologizing is something that means something to you, if you're experiencing it, why don't you try reaching out to us to learn how we can work together to bring this type of focus to your life through our coaching and other many services that we have. And you can check out all of those on our website at dragonhood.com. Dot world. We have a variety of different things that we can offer you or your team, so it's worth checking out. And we'd like to end our episodes with Claire leading us through the Dragonhood Mantra.
Yes, thank you so much, Rachel. And thank you all for joining us and spending time together with us. So, as always, we're going to take a nice deep breath in and close your eyes if it feels safe. Nice deep breath in. Out. Be authentic. Be curious. Be accepting. Take up space and awaken your inner dragon. Thank you all.
Thanks.